The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is written in Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, and statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with the decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Romans chapter 15. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth the distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the seas and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig trees and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that they come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for Populus Zion is the Latin title of the Sunday. Jesus' faith on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. And Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all that is taking place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Thus far the text. God's word reigns true. It reigns supreme. No matter what time of year it is, no matter where you're at in your lives, whether going through tribulation or having a merciful period of calm or even joy, God's truth is always right there in the midst of your lives, meaning to get your attention, meaning to make you aware of God's reaching out to you, meaning to come into your lives, to advent into your lives as much as Christ's adventing into this world through his incarnation. He came for good. God's word is sent into your ears for good. But boy, oh boy, man wants to determine the message that he hears. Christ has not come that his word would be preached to stone. He brings it to your ears for salvation, regardless of what time the world is trying to determine. How dare God's word, through the church's season of Advent, come along and ruin this world's time of already moving on to the twinkling lights and Yuletide carols. God's telling me through the prophet Malachi to remember the law of his servant Moses. Now, in this time of year, to remember the law of Moses? Gracious, that's going to remind me of my sin. The audacity of God. Christ's second coming? Warning, warning, the end of the world? Can't wait. I just got a really good deal on some stuff on Black Friday and haven't even wrapped stuff yet. Can't wait. He's held off this long. Now it's a little longer. This is what the world and the devil are constantly feeding that sinful flesh of yours. They entice that flesh to get comfortable in their ways, to get more caught up in the created things instead of the Creator. To not care for what the Lord has to say. If it doesn't give you what your itching ears desire to hear, but instead to live the way you want and to believe however you want to believe. And yet, what does God's word of truth come along and offer you? Last Sunday, you heard about Christ riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and a foal, the colt of a donkey, without all of the glamour and pageantry which the world goes after. Upon that deserve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In Christ's first advent, he rendered the greatest service to you, a service that no angel nor creature was able to render. He prepared the kingdom for you to enter through him. He prepared the kingdom for his believers, the elect. When that number of the elect is complete, he will return, not as a servant, but then as a master. And he will return and free you from this veil of tears, from this mire of death and decay. This is what your Lord is opening your eyes to through the words of this text. He is cautioning you against becoming secure in your sins, and secure also in your piety, so that the day of his coming might not come upon you unawares, so that you wouldn't be found not trusting in the fully atoning merits of Christ Jesus. Jesus comforts his Christians not to be terrified at the signs which will precede Judgment Day, but rather to rejoice that their redemption is drawing near. Yet your carnal flesh has its desires. Its appetite is gladly fed by all that is found in the fallen world. It is this very flesh that is enticed to say things such as, "Oh, give me a break with all this second coming stuff." Jesus said that over 2,000 years ago, and he's left a lot of people waiting. You know, these are the thoughts that cross your minds. It's how fallen minds think. It doubts God's word, fighting to be in charge, in control, fighting, basically, to stay alive, fighting to throw God out of the picture, because God's aim for that flesh is to put it to death. So it fights to throw God out of the picture so that you can be your own autonomous gods. Just like the fall of mankind, did God really say, "Doubt it, you too can be like God"? Question him. Don't take him for his word. You can be sure that these very same thoughts have happened before, only they were uttered out loud by those in the Ancient of Days, those who preferred what the world had to offer, those who became secure in their simple ways, those of Sodom and Gomorrah. And not only them, but the whole world also at the time of Noah. They too scoffed at the warnings, living as they wanted, lawless and without God's whole counsel. They too figured it was never coming. They too got caught up in all the carousing and worldliness. They lost God's promise of the Messiah. They stopped receiving that promise, which they had, which the world had and still has, ever since the promise was graciously given to Adam and Eve after the fall. The world back then stopped receiving God's sure and certain promise when they turned their back on him. of truth, which states, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Do you think that he is saying these words to unbelievers? No. He is saying them to his followers back then. He is saying them to you right now, during this Advent season of repentance and preparation. So don't listen to the multitudes, dear Christians. Don't fall for the hoax of the world, your sinful flesh, and the devil, thinking that you're free to have more fun by being indifferent to God's word. That's risky stuff. It's his word which will be despised in the final days. And part of that despising begins with indifference. And thankfully, your Lord gives to you through these words not only what to watch out and beware of, he tells you how you Christians will see the last days different than the rest of the hardened, unbelieving world. This is how the count of the day is answered. This is how the Lord stirs up your hearts. It's through the parable of the fig tree that he gives you hope. He doesn't have a parable about fire and brimstone, but a comforting parable about trees. Here are his words. As soon as the tree comes out in leaf, he says, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is near. Interesting. He's speaking of a tree that sprouts new life. So also the sun and moon grow dark. You shall not be weeping and mourning as if they are a great threat, but instead the Lord brings you to notice that the trees are budding in new life. Because he will keep you focused on the new life that comes through himself. And when the sea and the waves roar, you shall not panic as if your doom draws near, but instead you shall notice the beauty that is coming unto the world. Why will you hold such a view? Because God's word has brought you to repentance and belief. And he sustains his own. He sustains you in his promises. Promises that you too shall soon be completely set free from the burdens of this veil of tears. These signs, which will take place in the sun, moon, sea, and earth, the hard-hearted, unbelieving world will regard as an horrific, impending destruction. But you, O Christians, you shall see them as beautiful blossoms of a new Eden. Yes, the day on which your Lord returns indeed will be a great and awesome day. For he will come in a cloud with great power and glory. said that according to Malachi, will set them ablaze. The signs preceding this day will bring them fear and fainting. But to those who have been brought to repentance and belief and kept focused on the fully atoning merits of Christ Jesus, those who have been baptized into the Savior of the nations, those who have fed upon the bread of life, being sustained in the one true faith through his very body and blood, being sustained in body and soul unto life everlasting. Those who rightly fear the name of the Lord, this day is one to look forward to and rejoice in. Straighten up. Raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Christ, your Redeemer, is coming. The Son of Righteousness will bring healing in his wings. Words of the Lord which speak to you the forgiveness of your sins, which do not pass away, they will see you through this wilderness journey, through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures. Be strengthened in your repentance and belief by the Holy Spirit, and be brought to watch diligently for Jesus' coming. For by God's grace alone, you shall escape all these things that will come to pass. And you, being declared justified, that is, being declared not guilty and righteous by faith alone in the atoning merits of Christ alone, you too shall indeed stand before the Son of Man. Oh Lord, no matter what time of year, let your word